I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. For today's final conversation, we've stepped outside our studio and headed to the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. The Kennedy Center, for the first 3 weeks of June, will be home to the play Thurgood, starring Lawrence Fishburne. The production tells the story of the late Thurgood Marshall. He, of course, is the attorney who argued the landmark Brown v. Board of Education desegregation case. Marshall went on to become Solicitor General and later the first African-American to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, the setting for the play is a 1987 speech Marshall gave at his alma mater, Howard University, where he attended the law school and graduated first in his class. Here's a brief excerpt from that address.
There are people that tell us today, and there are movements that tell us, to tell Negroes, take it easy, man. You've made it. No more to worry about. Everything's easy. But again, I remind you of what Charlie Houston said. You got to be better, boy.
To talk about Thurgood, I'm joined by Lawrence Fishburne, who first took on the role in 2008, and George Stevens Jr., who wrote the play. Mr. Stevens is a longtime television and film producer as well. And I thank you both so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Stevens, I'm going to start with you because you would probably have a memory of when Brown was decided. And do you remember what you thought or how it was discussed in your household or any of that?
You know, I remember I was in the Air Force at the time in Florida, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say that it didn't have that big an impact on me. You know, it was just kind of news, and, you know, the dimension of it became clear to me later. That's an honest answer.
Well, we appreciate that. Why did you choose to write this play? Why this project?
Well, Thurgood Marshall was a man of heroic imagination. When you think 100 years after slavery in the 50s, there was still the rampant segregation and discrimination. And this man, then a young lawyer, believed that he could use the law to change this embedded injustice. And he did it. And I thought that was a life worth exploring.
And Mr. Fishburne, you've said, I've heard you say that before, mm-hmm. that you didn't really know that much about Thurgood Marshall before you took on this project.
I didn't even know he was from Baltimore.
Really?
Okay. No, I knew very little. I mean, I was born in 61. He was appointed in 67. So he was just always a Supreme Court justice. I had no knowledge that he argued Brown. I had no knowledge who argued Brown. I knew that it was this landmark case, and I knew what it symbolized, but I had no idea about what it took to get there and what the monumental effect of such a decision was. So what's great about the play is it's Thurgood coming out and saying, let me tell you the story of my life. And in so doing, he gives you a window into some very, very important moments in our country's history, you know, going back to, I guess, 1890. And coming all the way up to 1990. There's about 100 years of really, really amazing history contextualized in his life as he lived it that really affected all of our lives. And it's a great evening. It's a great lesson. But it's also this wonderful man that you get to spend some time with who's like your favorite uncle sitting with you on the back porch, sipping his drink, and regaling you with his stories, which you've heard 100 times, but they only get richer every time you hear them.
What's your favorite line in the play?
A favorite. I'll give you a favorite. I won't say that. I can't commit to just having just one. But I learned something from Langston. One person can make a difference.
Good choice. And Thurgood went to college with Langston Hughes, and that was the reference.
Yeah.
How amazing that these two extraordinary yes. people were at a small college together at the time.
You know, you got to know this man very well in the course of working on this mm-hmm. play. And I think one of the things that people appreciate about it is that you do get the sense of him as a man as opposed to this icon in the black robe kind of at a distance. But is there anything you didn't like about him?
About Thurgood?
Thurgood, yeah. Is there anything that you thought, oh, man, he's getting on my nerves?
not really. And we took care not to make this what they call a hagiography, because that's not going to be interesting to the audience. And there's this thing in drama called feet of clay, you know, where you show the weaknesses in a character. And we didn't hesitate to incorporate some of that. But I must say I had to work at it because it didn't come easily because he really was such an admirable person. And what makes the play possible is that Thurgood Marshall had a gift for narrative. All through his life, he would tell stories. He would live life and then find a way of making it amusing. And he did it with incredible humor. People come to this play in part because they want to see Lawrence and in part because they think it's going to be good for them. It's about civil rights. And what the joy of it is that it's so funny and it's so entertaining. I was going through a notebook yesterday and little rules that I had, and I just found this one line that said, information is our enemy. You know, that there's this tendency that you want to tell them and get all that information out, and we've worked very hard to dramatize everything, that you don't feel that Thurgood Marshall in the person of Lawrence is up there giving you a history lesson.
So it's not eat your peas, it's good for you theater.
Not at all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mr. Fishburne, though, I did want to ask you about that, that you have some experience playing characters that are not, how shall we say it, as beloved as others. I'm thinking of Ike Turner in What's Love Got to Do With
It? Yes, I have a history of villainy.
Villainy. But there is something to playing someone who is a beloved historical figure about whom people want to think well. And I just wondered, was there a trick to you for keeping it human? This is a person we're talking to and watching and living with, not just this icon in the robe
who comes down
and speaks to us and tells us things.
Right. No, the fact is that Thurgood was a raconteur of, like, the highest order. Like, the highest order. I wish I could tell stories as well as I know he told stories. There's a kind of wisdom that he's able to impart through the telling of these stories. It's the back porch wisdom thing. Like, I keep going back to that because that's really what it is. So you never get the sense that you're dealing with some big iconic guy. When the play begins, he comes out and he kind of looks at the audience and then he gets right to it. He was very direct, evidently. He was a very direct man. He starts talking and within, I would say, I don't know, like less than a minute, he lets you know that we're here and we're all going to have a good time. Now, you might learn something on the way, which is fine. Take that with you. But first and foremost, we're here to have a good time.
And what are his first words?
Well, we might as well get right to it.
Did he say that? Did he say that?
He does now.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Lawrence Fishburne and George Stevens Jr. We're talking about the play Thurgood. Mr. Fishburne stars in the play. George Stevens Jr. wrote it. It's about the life of Thurgood Marshall. Now, Mr. Fishburne, you started this role in 2008 when Barack Obama was running for president.
Yes.
Now you're performing it just a few blocks from where he lives.
No.
I just wanted to ask if that has any special
resonance.
It's
really exciting for me to be playing this play in D.C. with Obama as our sitting president, a stone's throw from the Supreme Court. You know, we're in Marshall's backyard. We're where he did his most important work.
And you could say that Barack Obama would not be president were it not for Thurgood Marshall. And actually, the first time I met Obama in 2003, there was a fundraiser. He was running for the Senate. And I was a little early. It was at Vernon Jordan's house. And I went into this room, and there he was. And I didn't know much about him. And we talked, and he kind of said, what are you doing? And I said, well, and I told him I was writing this play. And I remember this concentration he has on whomever he's talking to. And the night the play opened in New York, Dottie, my woman who works with me and so effectively, said, you should call the office and check your messages. So I called, and there was this voice said, I know your play is opening tonight, and I wish you all kinds of success. And he said, I think you know I'd be there if I wasn't running for president.
So has he seen it?
We hope. No, he has not.
No, he hasn't. He was actually very busy when we were running.
Well, how about that? But I do want to ask, Mr. Stevens, I'm going to ask you this too, Mr. Fishman. I do want to ask you about what the lessons of this play might be now and for people who are viewing it now, because there are different views about the role of history in our current life. There's the saying that those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. But on the other hand, there are those who really feel we spend too much time picking at racial sores, mm-hmm. and that some of these issues are really best not discussed. And so I wanted to ask, is there a particular importance of this play, or do you think it's just simply a good and enriching evening with a very fine actor at the helm? What are your thoughts about that?
I don't write political plays or to make a point, but so many African Americans who come to see the play, people in their 40s and 50s, and brought their children, tell me how important it is for them to have the children see and understand the times that existed and how one man did make a difference.
What do you think about that, Mr. Fisher?
I think it's incredibly important, particularly the way that it's delivered. The history that you get during the course of the evening is sometimes hard to take when we're picking at the racial sores, as you said, but Thurgood doesn't pick at them. He doesn't pick at racial sores. He just kind of tells you how it was, and he talks about this is a system that existed, and this is what we did to dismantle it because it was morally wrong. Okay, next. And we all have a responsibility when we see something in our country that exists that is morally wrong. We all have a responsibility to try and change it.
Do you have anyone in mind who you particularly hope will come to see this?
Well, of course, himself. We'd love to see Michelle and Barack and their children, of course, because it would be a great honor to perform this for them, quite frankly.
Mr. Stevens, I'm going to press you on this point about who you would want to see this, but because you're saying that you don't write political plays, and I certainly take your point in that, and you're saying this is important for African Americans to see, but they're not the only people for whom this history was meaningful, right, do you think?
Oh, I think it's meaningful for everyone. And it's just not comfortable for me to try and define who should come to see it. But in New York, we had such a varied audience.
It was amazing.
And it was just night after night. And it was a wonderfully mixed audience. And there was something about that that pleases me because basically that's what Thurgood Marshall worked for in his life, was that everybody would have opportunity and be together. And you know, we had a great time in New York, didn't we, Lawrence?
It was amazing because, you know, what George is saying is absolutely true. I've played the Broadway stage. My debut was in 92 with an August Wilson play. And then I went back and I did this funny little farce, this thing called The Lion in Winter with Stockard Channing. And then Thurgood. And Thurgood's, you know, the most diverse audiences for a Broadway house that I have ever seen. So many lawyers also. That was the other thing. And I don't know how I missed that, but I did.
This is Washington. I'm sure there will be lawyers in abundance. I want to ask you, because I know that you are a parent, and I am interested and curious to think if your children, I know you have a daughter. I don't know. Others? I know you have a little one.
I have a son, two daughters.
Son and two daughters. And I know I've heard you say that you hope this is a role that you can return to, because
yes,
you were quite a bit younger than Justice Marshall was at the time that
I'm
this
actually
play
the
is
age,
set.
I'm the age now that Thurgood was when he argued Brown.
Which is amazing. But I am wondering if you return to this role 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how your children will see it. Will they have any idea of what you're talking about?
Well, one of them certainly will, because his name is Langston. So he'll get it. my daughter, Montana, will be very interesting to see how she responds to it. She's 18 now. My baby, Delilah, she's going to be 3.
She will grow up in a country in which there has been an African-American president.
She will grow up in a country where the first lady looks like her.
Well, very different. We should come back and have this conversation in 5 years and see. Mm-hmm. And finally, before we let you go, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about your role on CSI. Of course, it's a top-rated drama. You replaced the lead of the successful network drama that had been on the air for a decade. You play investigator Ray Langston on CSI. And one of the reasons I'm raising this is that we were trying to think of other primetime dramas with – forgive me, I don't mean to put you in a box, but African-American leads.
Right.
And we were having difficulty. And I just wonder, does that mean anything?
It means there's not enough yet. There's not enough will yet, I guess, to make that normal. But all we can do is build it. All we can do is build it. So that's what I'm trying to do by saying yes and by showing up, you know, and then coming to D.C. and doing my real job.
Sir. Mr. Stevens, if I could have a final thought from you. I know you're uncomfortable with the question of who should come, but are you comfortable with the question of what you would like us to take away from an evening with your Thurgood?
You know, I'd love to leave it to the audience. My father, the great film director George Stevens, who I work with and learned storytelling in the editing room of Shane, the most important thing I learned from him was respect for the audience. And I think it's respect for the audience that wants me to say, come and see it and take away what's there for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
George Stevens Jr. is the author of the play Thurgood, about the life of Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. It opens at the Kennedy Center on June 1st. Actor Lawrence Fishburne stars in the production. They were both kind enough to join us here at the Kennedy Center. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you.
That's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Brecton Booker, Jessica Diehl, Jasmine Garst, Elliot Hannon, Lee Hill, Douglas Hopper, Alexis Kenyon, Emily Oxenschlager, and Jennifer Longmire-Wright. Our editors are Louise Clemens and Kyle McKinnon. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. She had a hand this week for Monica Evstatieva. The program is directed by Rob Sachs. He had help from Arjun Hutchins. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.